Again, I greet you all in Jesus' name. It's such a privilege, and I'm so humbled to be here today with all of you. I didn't really know that I would ever reach a time like this, that I would have a privilege to talk before the great men and women of God. But God has opened the door for me to share what He's put in my heart today. Let's turn to the Word of God from Paul's letter to church in Philippi, to Philippians. We'll read from chapter 3, from verse 12 to 21. And I would want to, a quick reader from the congregation to read. Oh, anyone from the congregation, welcome.
Philippians 3, 12 to 21. Not that I have already attained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious.
Amen. Thank you. As we go through this passage, we do know that Apostle Paul, this was one of the letters he wrote when he was in prison. And it's quite emotional part of his writing, where he emphasizes on pressing on. Now, pressing on is not an easy word. Pressing on. Pressing on can be advancing vigorously. Oh, vigorously, you advance vigorously. It is a force against something. And so he was pursuing the will of God and moving forward. He was not moving backwards. But before I emphasize on that, I would want to remind all of us that as we read this passage, we need to recognize one thing, that we are the citizens of heaven. Isn't that beautiful? It's the greatest motivation that every Christian can ever have in this life. That knowing that we are the citizens of heaven, not the citizen of earth. And so the Apostle Paul talks about pressing on because there is a motivation in pressing on. You are moving against resistance. You are moving against forces. And these are forces of darkness. Some of the forces can come from in within us and outside us. So Apostle Paul encourages believers that we need to press on. There are many factors. There are many challenges we face. Sometimes it comes in form of discouragement. Sometimes it comes in form of depression. Sometimes it comes in different forms. Maybe the loss of a relative or a loss of a friend. And then the enemy comes in and say, oh, you're done. You're done with God. God doesn't exist. He does exist. So being in prison, he looks at the kind of life he was going on. And he looks at the Christians that he had visited, that he had led to Christ, the church that he had founded in his second missionary journey in Philippi. And then he hears about the discouragement. Then he writes to them. And he says, brothers, not that I have finished or I have accomplished, that I have achieved much, But I'm also still in the journey. I'm in prison, but I'm moving on. You can do it the same way I can do it. Because we have God, we have Jesus with us. So believers, I want to encourage us today that much as we live in this world and we are not citizens of this world, we are going to be facing challenges. But we can do it because of Christ. But pressing on requires that we are focused. Pressing on requires that we have a goal. We have a goal, a heavenly-ward goal. If we meddle in the earthly tendencies or earthly treasures, the earthly issues, then we will be caught up. So pressing on requires that there is a certain goal that was set, that we see in the next verse. In the next verse, it goes on to say, verse 14, after I said press on, the next one, 15, it says, because you are mature, take this view seriously. Now, it's referring to the church. Those that are mature in faith should take this seriously. Not because they are complete also, or because they are completely mature, but even those who are mature can still slip back. So as believers, as we are in this journey and pressing on, moving forward in this ministry, in serving God, we also need to be mindful that there are things around us that can still pull us backwards. So we need to be aware that there are forces and oppositions in this ministry. And they come in many varied forms. And so we need to be focused, and we need to be aware that some of those can still pull us down. It could be the friends. The Bible refers to those who may not have the same view with you. In Uganda, we have a lot of church breakouts today. One church moves from one church, breaks from this one because they don't agree on things. I don't know what happens here. Pastors disagree, maybe with the elders, and then they start a church. Apostle Paul here is encouraging the church that even if there are those different views, we need to pursue them so that somehow God, in our perseverance, in endurance, in pursuing those relations, bringing those relationships together, will bring them also to understanding. So he's emphasizing unity as a body of Christ, that we all will work together, even with those who may disagree with us, for the common cause. In the next chapter, next verse, verse 13, it says, live up to what you have already achieved. That is the aspect of holding firm, having grip. We have all been called into salvation. Christ has called us into his salvation. There are a lot of things that we have learned over this period in life. We need to hold on to those ones without slipping back. As believers, there is always this temptation where things doesn't seem right, when things are not moving well, when challenges come our way, there's a tendency of even forgetting the things, that good things that God has done in our lives. Let's not forget them. That's what the heart of the Apostle Paul, that we would not forget the goodness of God, the good things that God has done in our lives. Let's not allow the overwhelming challenges take course, overpower us, and we forget about the grace and the goodness of God. We live a society we work in sometimes is very challenging. When people feel that they have probably lost a relative or something bad has happened, sometimes people commit suicide. You literally hear somebody has hanged himself. That's not where we are. We have known the Lord. We've come far. He has blessed us. He has encouraged us. He has given us hope. And we do know for sure that we are the citizens of heaven. So our focus should be different, even amidst the pain and suffering. Let's remember that God has already done great things in our lives. The apostle also encourages us that we should not concentrate on already the past that we have done. We need to move forward and do more. Let's forget the past. Sometimes we begin saying, oh, in our time, I was a good evangelist. And then when you retire from job and you say, oh, I'm now tired, I no longer want to preach. He's telling us, let's forget the past. It's not negatively forgetting the past, but to desire to do more for the kingdom. In verse 17, could somebody read for me verse 17? Thank you. I like this so much because Apostle Paul is in prison and he's telling others, join others. He recognizes that working together with one another as a team is very important. So he says, join others. Join your brothers. Join your neighbors. In doing what? In serving God. It's encouraging us to work as a team. As a body of Christ, we need to work as a team. And we see this often in his letters. Towards the end, he keeps recognizing the contribution of others that worked with him, those that visited him. Along here, you find, I think in chapter 4, he recognizes quite different people. Epaphroditus, I'm sorry about that, is a big, difficult name, who delivered the gifts to him. He was able to recognize that. Now, he brings it a very big aspect of teamwork. But then he goes on to say, now just look at me, follow my example as I follow Christ. And again, if you look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he talks about the same. Follow my example as I follow Christ. And just before that, he was saying in verse 33 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he was saying, the thing that all this that I have done, in whichever way I have done it, I'm paraphrasing, I did not do it for my own good, but for the good of others, that they may be saved. And then quickly goes on, follow my example as I follow Christ. That's so beautiful a picture. If we work together as a team, serving one another, doing things for the good of others, then we are exactly doing exactly what Jesus did. And those are the standard that he was telling his friends, that we are citizens of heaven. So we need to practice these things. We need to live with our neighbors. We need to work with one another at the church level, in our communities. And I want to encourage, one of the things that the enemy can always rob us of is when we move away from one another and we don't live in a community, if we don't create communities around us that we fellowship with, that we encourage. If you look at Apostle Paul's messages, sometimes he says, a group that meets in the house of, maybe David. The group that meets in the house of Mary. He recognizes that those communities were very important aspect of the body of Christ. So working as a team that he encourages here, this team, if they work together and they follow the example of Jesus Christ, then they will impact the society. And among those, he said, take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Which is very beautiful. Sometimes you need to have like-minded people to start ministry with. People who have the same vision. People who have the same mind. People who have the same focus you have. And so he's telling us that as we work together as a team and following his example, we also need to have a standard that we live, that everyone out there will see that standard and they say, oh, these are the citizens of heaven. Particular people can also take you away from the focus, from serving God. So he identifies those with the same mind, those who are like-minded, are very important in our team as we move forward in his service. In 18, he points out the aspects of those who are, I would say, those who are not the friends of the cross. But how about us? There were those who were against the resurrection. Against, they didn't want to hear about those. But how about us? Maybe the Judaism. At that time, Judaism did not want to hear that. But Apostle Paul is saying, live as friends of the cross. On the other side, the opposite of it. Let's live as friends of the cross, who associate with the resurrection and the death of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's encouraging the believers that let's not live as those, but let's live as friends of the cross. People who love Jesus Christ. And if we are friends of the cross, our mind, our view of things is going to be different. He goes in 20 and 21 and then points out clearly, before 19, those who are not the friends of the cross, he also gives what their destiny is. Those who are the friend of the cross, their destiny is also known, which is beautiful. So we are destined for eternity. And therefore, we need to live as the friends of the cross, those who know the truth. Let's dissociate ourselves from other focuses and concentrate as the soldiers or the army of God who know the truth. And that's what Apostle Paul is emphasizing here. He says, their God is their stomach. Well, there are many things that we can equate to things that can take us like that. There are things that can be idols in our lives. And those are things that we treasure in our lives. There are things that are earthly things that are highly treasured. And those can take up the place of God in our lives. They can be very important to us and they can lead us to destruction. And that's what he's emphasizing. That let's be very careful with some of the things, the things that we treasure, the things that can draw us away from godliness. Draw us away from our focus, and we miss our destiny. And he concludes in 20 and 21, putting it very clearly, by the way, you are citizens of heaven. We are not the citizen of the earth. Even when we live here, our identity should be different. Our focus should be different. Our character should be different. Our attitude should be different. It should be a godly attitude because we are of the kingdom. Therefore, our minds should be heaven-minded. Think about things of heaven. It doesn't mean that we are not going to eat food, we're not going to have vehicles, we're not going to have good things. All those good things God has given us are good. But let them not take the place of God in our lives. Because our focus is heaven. There is a better treasure in heaven than even what we have today. And he points out, I think these are the three motivations, that the motivators that I see was good for Apostle Paul, and that is good for all of us. Number one, as I conclude, one, we do know that there's going to be a reward awaiting in this journey. After all this tough world and the difficulties that we will go through, there's a reward awaiting. Number two, this eternal life that we all will go and enjoy. Much better than what we see today in this world. And so that is the motivation to press on to advance, whether preaching the word of God, whether serving God, in whichever way God has given you. There's a motivation because there's eternity. There's life everlasting. Finally, there's a motivation that it points in this 21, that our lowly bodies on earth will be glorified when the Lord comes. You're not going to be... Today you might look very simple. People might look you lowly. When you preach the word, when you come to church, they might say, what are they looking for? Why are they wasting time? They may look at you as very poor. They might look at you as, you know, old. They might look at you, describe you in whichever way. But there's one important thing, that this earthly body is going to go, but will be transformed. There's a promotion from the lowliness to the glory. Very important, and is a big motivation to press on. So I want to encourage us today that as we live and serve the Lord, it is very exciting. Even if we were to be put in prison, just like Apostle Paul, we do know there are three things that should make us move on, even in prison. Even when we lose our relatives, even if we lost everything we had, there is a motivation far more greater than discouragement. That one day, these lowly bodies will be transformed and be glorified and to be with the Lord. May the Lord bless us all. Can I pray? Draw us nearer to you. May you use these words to encourage us, to draw us closer to you, and to pursue you in all manner of life. Help us to move forward in this world, tough as it may be, because one day we know we will be with you. Encourage all your servants who are here today and those who are not here, serving in different parts of the world. Encourage them that you are with them. And that one day, we will rejoice together in heaven. Take care of every needs. Take care of every worries. Take care of every emotion. And Lord, remind us that you are there with us, even now. In Jesus' name I pray and believe. Amen.